Hey everybody, it's Frank R. Hey everybody, welcome to episode 7 of Frank About Health. This is your host, Frank R. Harrison. Today we're going to be frank about DNA testing. I have with me a very special guest. I mean, he could be like family. And you know why? Because he is. He is my second cousin. Now, where do we fit in the line of things? His grandfather and my great-grandfather were brothers. So we are truly ancestral cousins that met through the courtesy of 23andMe. That is why I thought it was appropriate to host this show to focus on the healthcare issues that a test like 23andMe has definitely brought to our understanding, as we've been able to unite a couple years ago when really looking to understand our family history and our heritage, more of which we will definitely talk about. But what I find very interesting is that the whole knowledge of DNA and RNA, as we've learned a lot today, especially because of times like COVID, is very much needed going forward as we try to understand our overall picture of health and wellness. Now, Jimmy and I go back from the sense that we have a common ground when it comes to certain lineage issues, American Indian lineage issues, Irish lineage issues. We're both creative types. He's an individual that likes to dance. I did DJing and dance promoting while I was in the music industry, but that's just the tail end of things. I want to introduce Jimmy right now to give you his background and for him to give his perspective on how 23andMe has brought to his intention the importance not only of family heritage, but of quality of life. So, Jimmy, thanks for coming on today's episode of Frank About Health.
Thanks for having me, Frank. Cousin, thanks for having me.
No problem. So by all means, just tell me exactly what brought you to 23andMe back in 2018, I think it was.
Well,
right?
About 8 years ago, my youngest daughter for my birthday gave me Ancestry.com. So I went on Ancestry.com and I started doing a background and going to my grandparents, my great-grandparents. And of course, I don't know about everyone else, but I grew up in a family where it was mentioned lightly, oh yeah, we have Indian blood or we have, but never really down to where there's a real facts, or perhaps because I was young, I really didn't care at the time. But as you get older, those things become more and more important to you. So what I did was I went on Ancestry and I found all this and I thought, okay, let me do the 23andMe test just to see if what they're telling me is true, that my one grandparent from Ireland, one grandparent, you know, from England, this kind of thing. So I did it. And when I got the results, they told me I had, I don't know, maybe about 45, 50 people you're related to, third cousins, fourth cousins, once removed, all this kind of stuff. So I looked down the line and I saw these names that I have no idea. You know, I'm so Irish, O'Dwyer, you know what I mean? So I'm so Irish. And I thought to myself, well, I don't know. This is okay, Italian name. Wonder where this comes from. But then I saw Harrison. That was my mother's maiden name. It's also my oldest grandson's name. So okay, click. This one has to be related to me. I'm sure of it because it's the same name, or at least that's what I thought. So that's why I got in touch with you, and it's been an education for me because your knowledge is like twice of what I knew, and I can't tell you how pleased I am. And since then, I have gone on to Ancestry. I've sent a lot of messages to a lot of people. And some answer me back and they'll say, oh, yeah. And they'll say my grandmother's name. You know, it's kind of sad that nobody keeps any records because they'd say, I think my grandmother's name was Frances. I'm not sure what her the maiden name was of my great grandma. It's nobody's sure of anything, you know. So it really is a struggle to keep trying to go back and back and back. But I'm doing really well. I'm into it. I go all the way back. I go all the way back into England. So it's fun.
Yes. And of course, for me, it was an issue where I had known, being an epileptic since the age of 16, that it was particularly genetically based, according to my doctors at the time, that part of my search for 23andMe was the healthcare issue, while I also joined Ancestry DNA, because I definitely wanted to know about the American Indian heritage issue, which I think we're going to save for later on in the program, because you and I have discovered over the past 6 months, especially, how very interesting where we come from the American Indian side. But that all being said, 23andMe, over the course of the last 6 months, has become even more high profile, because I think what both of us had discovered, not only in terms of our common issues with healthcare, but it also became a necessary platform for a lot of pharmaceutical companies out there to try to determine new vaccines and new cures for chronically ill cases that for centuries or years, decades, people have been trying to find resolution to. So the thing is that when I was looking at our background on 23andMe, what I had noticed was some aspects of diabetes 2, which I know is strong in my mother's side of the family. And then I also noticed the thing with cancer. And at the time, my father, who is your true second cousin, by the way. So you were right. Frank Harrison was your second cousin.
But exactly.
I'm your second cousin once removed. But either way, we're both on the same page, though, when it comes to the healthcare thing. And as you also know from my father's case, when he was just resolving his recurrent prostate cancer, one of the aspects was trying to understand where the lineage in the Harrison family, and I guess the Dwyer family as well, was probably coming up to some understanding as to if it was just something that we were destined to have at some point in our lives. And if so, how can we better manage it? How can we better come up with solutions and treatments for it and better understand it rather than thinking it's just an evil curse that's trying to take us out before our time? You know, but I think what the beauty of COVID, if there's any beauty in it, is that when we're all quarantined, we're all trying to figure out a way of coping with it and learning from it. And one of the things you know about from our weekly meetings that we've had is that I have this theory that the vaccine that he received for COVID actually helped to resolve his cancer, because it is mRNA vaccine that actually worked on all aspects of his immune system from COVID all the way down to whatever was already ailing him. But again, I was just amazed at the work that you were doing on Ancestry, because you really were probing into our family background that goes to the 1600s, I believe.
Right. Well, if you're on health for a minute, I want to say this. I think previous to going on Ancestry or 23andMe, I totally believed things like cancer. This was like, oh, everybody knew it must be environmental. You know, they live in New Jersey and there's a lot of oil companies and it's whatever, you know what I mean? So, but then when you see, this is kind of that's what you were told, and you know, before right. before you're a free thinker. So when you're young, you're told all that, and you go, okay, well, don't drink the water. This water is more purified than that water. You know, nobody in Switzerland ever gets it because the water is so clean. La 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 la. But then as you grow and your family grows, and you all of a sudden you see your aunts or your uncles and stuff, and they start to pass, and you say, wow, they had this, they had this, they had this. They, you know, and then you go, yeah, but she lived on a farm. She didn't live in the city. You know, your head goes bing. And you go, yeah, she didn't live in the city. So I think when I started going to that, I started realizing that there's so, so much to it. And even now they're pushing diets according to your DNA. You know what I mean? I even remember, must have been 30, 40 years ago, they had that book out where it was your blood type. Remember, if you're a meat eater, if you're O positive and you're a vegetable eater and A negative or whatever. So truthfully, they've been doing this for a long time, but now at least it's in the forefront. Everybody hears about it. Everybody starts thinking about it. And everybody, more people who know it, you know, I have grandchildren and I'm constantly telling them this, this, and this about it. So hopefully maybe, and you're right. You're right. We just went through a terrible, terrible thing. And I really believe that helped. And I think it can help going forward, because now I hear even for AIDS and other stuff that they're, you know, it's going to work. So whatever. Right. I'm ready for it.
It just comes into a whole notion where I think a lot of medical schools have to almost redefine their curriculums into the next graduating classes of the next decade, that they have to have certain theories or platforms to operate from in understanding the whole genomic method of doing research for testing and treatment. I think the aspect of nature versus nurture keeps coming to my mind, because if DNA is all about the nature, our genetics, where our ancestors have come from, and the muscle memory that we all inherit, whether we live through those circumstances or not, Then the nature aspect, our current environmental circumstances, can actually serve as triggers to reactivate those genes within our DNA that are actual links to certain medical problems or certain behavioral traits that are common for wherever our ancestors come from. I guess a lot of people operating blindly through life based on limited information or limited technology or whatever else, something like COVID or even something like 23andMe has been like almost a marriage made in heaven, because now everybody's relying on their own self-understanding rather than waiting for information to come from any source, whether it be legal authority or medical authority or things like that. And exactly. As I think I've repeated constantly, there's nothing more important than family. So from that perspective, us being able to meet on 23andMe and then to also share in our common stories and our common memories, especially the ones you've had with my father over areas of New Jersey where you both came from. The thing is that it also brings a different sense of bonding and unification, so that you understand that missing element that you probably grew up feeling when
very
you didn't
true,
know the
very answer. True.
You know, I find that for those out there who want to know what DNA stands for, that is deoxynucleic ribosome. No, I'm sorry. I don't exactly know the word, but RNA is ribonucleic acid, and that is the most critical of the DNA strand, because RNA is what they say is the messenger. It operates between all the strands of your DNA. We all have 23 chromosomes, and each one has to communicate with the other, and the RNA molecules do the messaging through between the cells so that those genetic traits that are recessive do not activate, and those that are activated by environmental circumstances or viruses or other kinds of issues are then regulated. That's the little bio lesson in 30 seconds or less.
Thank you.
But that all being said, the one thing that I wanted everybody to know, especially on this show, is that, you know, it is a health-oriented show, but I think the most important aspect of it is for us to go over the next 45 minutes on various aspects of ancestry testing, how important DNA is not only in understanding your medical possibilities or even your heritage, but also just understanding better your traits and why you think the way you do or act or feel the way you do. So it just basically makes sense that to have a show with you, because you definitely have a broad perspective on our entire history, our entire ancestry. And with my medical background that we've been able to share a lot recently, I think that the next segment of the show we'll be able to talk more about in detail.
I'm ready, Frank.
Perfect, because right now we're about to go to our first commercial break, and then we're just going to start moving on. All right, everybody, this is Frank R. Harrison here, Frank About Health. We'll be back in a few right here on talkradio.nyc.
Have you ever thought of reinventing yourself? Are you looking to create a new life's journey? Hi, I'm Kevin Barbaro, host of Coffee Talk XL every Tuesday night, 5, 8 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live to hear me and my guests from a variety of different backgrounds. As a former college coach and a current full-time actor and owner of multiple companies, my show is as eclectic as my life. That's Coffee Talk XL every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you interested in having a better relationship with yourself, others, and God? Greetings. I'm your host, Dr. George Andow, for the show A Journey Through Into Awareness. On my show, we journey into the awareness that the mind of God is the true seat of our personal consciousness. We join together each Monday at 7 p.m., so tune in on Talk Radio NYC.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to this episode of Frank About Health. I'm here with my cousin, Jimmy Dwyer. We're talking about DNA, RNA. I just got a message from the studio saying it's deoxynucleic riboacid. I hope I'm saying that right. Either way, again, the focus is really in understanding that RNA, the messenger in all of our genes and chromosomes, is the critical piece in communicating the attributes of future treatments, future inherited traits that can develop, some of which never develop because they remain recessive in your genetic coding. And right now, I want to uncover some of the research that both Jimmy and I have had on 23andMe with regards to two particular illnesses that do run in our combined families. One of them is cancer, and the other one is high cholesterol, all related to cardiac care. So, Jimmy, I thought you should start from the information that you had discovered.
Well, to be honest with you, I have lost both parents and two of my siblings to cancer. So I immediately think that this is a problem. But I want to say something about 23andMe about that. They say that, of course, diet. They say, you know, if you, especially if you talk to the doctor, stress, exercise, you know, these are the counteractors of it. But if you have this, and now, thank God we have this DNA, we can see it early, because now I can say, excuse me, but you know what? Now we have new children in the family. Let's start them on a diet that has nothing to do, that's already there in line, that they can be healthier. Let's put them into a program where this is one of the problems, then we'll clear this problem up. I mean, it gives us, it's like growth. It's not, you know, it's no longer a needle over the belly to see if you're having a boy or a girl. I mean, all that archaic stuff is gone. And of course, I'm up in years, but to me, it's very exciting. It's very, very exciting. Even to the part with 23andMe for me that I love is, even if it's the little things, it's the ingrown toenails and the, can you speak in front of a group, hair follicles, will you have curly hair, will you lose your hair, all this kind of stuff. You know, it's to me, all that is, of course, we need decisions and we need smart people. And you know what? I think that the more people educate themselves on the DNA, the smarter they're going to be in their reaction to not only what they do going forward, but how they can hopefully, even though it's in their DNA, somehow make it recessive by not allowing it to come to the forefront. I don't know how you could do that, but you know what I'm talking about.
No, you're actually onto something, especially in the field of epilepsy. I know there's been genome testing going on with that for the last 20 or so years. And all they know is that once they come up to some relative conclusions as to the genetic formations of those that have genetically disposed epilepsy, is they can best probably go in utero to the fetus and remove the strands, or they call them markers, I guess.
Right, markers.
They can be born without, you know, getting that kind of inherited epilepsy. You know, the other aspect is that in terms of the way that people have understood cancer to be predominantly due to things like over-smoking or too much abuse of the environment, especially you mentioned areas of New Jersey that have a lot of chemical plants. You know, I think that's an example where if you were already predisposed to getting cancer, that it was that environment that helped create that to its fruition, to its
and
reality.
And so very, very true, simply because if you come from, I come from a family of five, so two and three don't. So it's like, you know, but yet we're all raised in the same exact environment, at least outside environment. I mean, we all take an inside environment. We all handle that kind of thing differently. But an outside environment is an outside environment. And if you're living next door to Shell Oil, you're living next door to Shell Oil, no matter what. So you wonder why. I have this 99-year-old aunt. She lived down the port in Elizabeth, the worst place for it. You could just about see through the fog when you walk. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, she's 99 years old. So maybe you're right. That's what it is. That maybe it was on our recessive side. But well, if we knew it, Frank, we could do something about it. So
23andMe can come in, because once you get hold of it and learn it and apply it and improve your diet and change your environmental circumstances, whatever they may be, then you can just prevent or minimize the risk of having it become activated until a later age, or better yet, not at all.
You know what else, too? Even if you don't do, you don't have to do, if you don't want to go commercial like 23andMe, there are so many places now that are doing DNA testing, period, that you can do that, so that you could do it much more clinically rather than commercially. You know what I mean? So, but the thing, the important part is that you do it.
Yeah, you do it. And unfortunately, being that they are very expensive still, even at this point in our our life cycle, if that's the way of calling it, after some of the cuts, you think it should be affordable for everyone. They still have to probably rely on 23andMe for starters. Ancestry is probably following the model. They have new kits called Ancestry Health. But, you know, they're limited in certain states. So that kind of indicates also that it's just part of the health regulations by state. I think 23andMe has been able to capitalize on it based on their relationships with pharmaceutical companies. And they've been able to even make their own drugs based on the consumer database that they've acquired over time, especially in understanding which ones have possibilities of Alzheimer's or cancer.
Right.
Their cholesterol, and the list goes on. You know, but I think it's just overall – what the problem continues to remain, that no matter how informed you are, not you, the overall you,
right,
do you retain it? Do you even want to know the truth? Are you going to be resistant based on your viewpoints, religious beliefs, political beliefs, or just maybe fear itself, not wanting to know the truth? And that's unfortunately unproductive, because then they have to live with whatever those consequences are.
But Frank, it's life, because here it goes. It doesn't look at anything we have. I mean, pick anything out of the air. It doesn't matter whether it's gay marriage. That was not heard of 50 years ago. If only a small percentage start, they start following it and it starts helping, then suddenly anything that's worthwhile or anything that's human and social, people start slowly getting on the bandwagon. You'll have people that get on no bandwagons ever in their life, not non-believers in science. This is science. We're living in a land where science, there's a lot of non-believers in science. Well, you can't make someone believe, but those people who do, it could help them. And that's, if you can help three people, it's better than no people, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And that's where we've come into, thanks to social media, we've come into the world where we have what is known as the influencer. So there are a lot of influencers and advocates that technology brings to the plate, if you will. And then when you have influencers, like I try to become a healthcare advocate of my own.
Yeah, but this show alone, dude.
Exactly. I mean, that the impetus for this show actually began 5 years ago here on Talk Radio NYC, but I brought it back because of COVID and because of my father's cancer scare and because of my ongoing research with DNA, especially in the area of epilepsy and diabetes. I mean, I continue to also deal with mental health issues from other people that I know that have been looking for solutions and how to be able to not become so hypervigilant after a time like COVID-19. So I just decided that's it. I'm bringing the show back and I'm going to try to elevate the platform to become an influencer and advocate for those groups to get the information that they actually want, but for various reasons are just not getting. And so I guess, if anything, both you and I are advocating 23andMe over and over again. They probably would wish that we had a discussion with them in advance so they can collect on a lot of royalties. But
yeah, well, like I said, it's not even that. You can get it from others. There's a lot of people that offer it out there. For me, it was good because not only did I connect with you and your dad, mm-hmm. I also found myself that I'm learning things about myself, and I'm also passing them down. And that's what else that, you know, I know it sounds crazy. I don't know about people out there, but for me, passing stuff down, the stuff that I've learned that can help the future generations, because all I care about is a better life for yours and mine.
Correct.
You know what I mean? And isn't that kind of what we're supposed to be here on Earth for? To me, I don't know.
Yes,
you know what I mean? I think you can, like you said, nurture and nature. All right. So nurture, here's the thing. If you're as a very young boy, I was constantly told, you're great, you're good looking, you're happy, you're lucky, you're positive, 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 positive. So I don't know that in a DNA strand, there might have been mental, what do you call it? And it
depression?
Yeah, it could be because I had that. I had an uncle and an aunt, both of them. And I don't know if they were married, so I don't know if one made the other. I really never knew, but I always thought to myself, my mother would say, we can't go because, you know, they can't get out of bed today. And I used to think to myself, well, are they sick? They can't get out of bed today. And she goes, no. So it was, but I later on, I learned it was, you know, manic depressives. And I don't know if they found each other or whatever it may be. But I think to myself, well, maybe that was in the line, but, you know, you're fed the opposite. So I think that can also help. I think that's what I'm saying. You go on this 23andMe, yeah. It doesn't matter which one. Diet, environment, change
exactly.
It all.
Exactly. Environment, education, even exactly. The family. If you come from a dysfunctional family, you're not going to get the complete story, not even half the time. That's exactly. Why at the end of the day, aside from having influences in your life, such as this show, let's say, but right. Also being very mindful of the information you gather, owning it, and putting it to practice. No one can assume that when you're getting any kind of education from DNA kits or from school or college or wherever,
right.
That once you've completed the degree, that it's all done, that it's in you and it's there. No, you have to have an aggressive stance and continue taking the information you're given and work with it and develop your path. And like what I said on one of my previous shows, which actually dealt with the topic of narcissism, you can't help heal others unless you've healed or helped yourself first. You have to have the inner resources to know exactly what you're going to try to apply to someone else. Otherwise, if you're left exhausted or not even having enough energy, you're not going to be able to help anybody. All right, listen, it looks as though we're headed for another break, but now I'm going to get into when we return, I'm going to get into the clinical aspects of DNA, especially when it comes to vaccines and other kinds of critical treatment issues for everyone out there to be more informed about, especially going into the next decade. All right, everybody, thanks for tuning in to Frank About Health here on talkradio.nyc. We'll be back in a few.
Do you feel uninformed about menopause and how it impacts on your life? Hi, I'm Pat Duckworth, women's health strategist and host of the Hot Women Rock radio show, empowering women leaders at menopause. Join me every Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. UK time on talkradio.nyc. For interviews with inspirational women who will share their top tips to rock your world.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Frank About Health. This is Section 3, where we've just been speaking, Jimmy and I, about our linkage to cancer based on the 23andMe study, how we met 2 years ago. But I did mention that there was also a linkage to high cholesterol and heart attacks. As you heard from Jimmy's story, he didn't really suffer any losses of anyone from heart attacks or any kinds of strokes or things like that, fortunately and thank God. But I'm just referring to the fact that at the same time, when anyone does a 23andMe study, you have half of your mother and half of your father. And as we've been speaking for the last half hour, we're really coming from my father's side, his mother's side, which makes them first cousins, or I think something like that. In terms of my side with involving my mother, there is also proof on my 23andMe study that I am predisposed to diabetes type 2, as I'm sure that on Jimmy's side, he probably through his father, he's got some other traits that probably don't exist on my side. So therefore, 23andMe is meant to be taken subjectively. If you go out and get yourself a kit, it's affordable now, especially after times like COVID. But the thing is, always be aware that whenever you see the results of whatever your healthcare traits could be, or that you could be predisposed to, that is never a final story. It's something to be verified by your healthcare professional, your PCP, or whomever you go see on a regular basis. It's never meant to be a scary story. It's meant to just give you the information to go and develop the research so you can live a better quality of life. In terms of what we talked about, the influencer, that is a big takeaway that I want my listeners out there to have. Everybody can be their own influencer, but in times like these, sometimes you need advocates out there to just wake you up and get you started on the road to a better quality of life, especially as we are all looking for a better quality of life post-COVID, and that is an ongoing challenge day to day. So I wanted to take this section to talk about the vaccines, because that is the only weapon we have left at this point in time. Everyone is hearing every day about the Delta variant. The Delta variant is exactly that, a genetic mutation about a disease that existed in China starting in 2019. And as a result, the reason why they're saying that those that have had the vaccines are not subject to the risk of the Delta variant, it's because we are immune to any part of the original DNA code that came with the virus back at that point in time. So any mutation would never even be part of your DNA, especially after you've been vaccinated. Therefore, what I want others to be out there to do besides get vaccinated is to be aware of the importance that it is not some conspiracy to try to control us. It's a conspiracy, if you will, to try to keep our quality of life maintained as we are continuing to go out there and travel again and work again and go to school again and live our lives again. But as I've been trying to indicate on this show, you have to go with a complete knowledge base of who you are genetically, who you are from your medical record standpoint, so that you can be protected from being infected from something like COVID or any disease, but at the same time, to prevent giving it to others if you are a carrier or if you are some kind of transmitter as a result of not being fully aware of the liability that you may impose. The other things I want to talk about is that 23andMe, as I mentioned earlier, had done a documentary on CNBC about a year ago indicating that they were getting involved in working with pharmaceutical companies, in particular GlaxoSmithKline, who was trying to work on autoimmune disorders, including Crohn's disease, which are basically through the genetic coding that they've acquired through their customer base, been able to manufacture vaccines and drugs for the people with those disorders. And of course, the customers that got first crack at them were the 23andMe customers. So there is a value add for those that are concerned about which ancestry kit to purchase. Again, we have both, Jimmy and I, done Ancestry.com as well as 23andMe, because we also have a very strong interest in our family heritage. And the other thing I wanted Jimmy to cover in this section is about our American Indian history, which I think we were looking for information, correct me if I'm wrong, Jimmy, about any kinds of diseases that American Indians have through their DNA brought through the generations other than the typical ones we've been talking about. Did you find anything in particular?
Well, wait, before we go into our Indian American heritage, I wanted to say something about the Delta variant. I read a very interesting article today that said if we wanted to look at the variant, let's look at England, because they've had it since last May. while most people think, oh my God, it's more easily caught, which it is, it's not more severe. It's just more easily caught. So if you look at the variant in England, it's a good thing because you say all those months, well, what's happened there is it hasn't meant more people are going, vaccinated people are not going into the hospital, are not getting sick because it's not more severe. It's just more easily caught. So that's really good. So to me, I can only speak from the heart. Please, everybody, you're right. I have to tell you something. I had somebody on Facebook said this silly thing, but it really touched me because it said, why don't you have polio? Because your parents made sure you got the vaccine. And I always think to myself, I have a lady who lives next door to me and she has polio. And she said to me, the vaccine came out about 9 months after I got it. And that was like, I was just short of it. And I always think of that. And I think to myself, wow, that's like, it's nothing less than a year, but yet how important it is.
So, right.
All right. All right. So I'll get off that COVID part and on to our Indian heritage.
Yes.
Well, first off, to begin with, they were mostly, I don't want to say anything is disease free, but they lived to a long life. They were vegetable, fish. They lived by the waters. But what happened is, of course, when you come, like anything, when the people came over from England, they came over from this Europe, and the Europeans started coming and never mind attacking and annihilating. What they did was those who mixed, that was a whole new thing. It's my grandson is staying with me, and we just bought a fish tank. He's a big aficionado of the fish tanks, and we have to keep it because we have to wait till its pH gets this balance goes, because the bacteria has to, good bacteria has to go. And I thought to myself when I was thinking, I'm watching it as it's clear, the water's clearing up, and I'm thinking to myself, that's exactly what happened. It came over, and their bacteria, which was foreign to the indigenous people,
right.
So now you have pox, and you have the flus, and the, you know, so other than dying of that or being pushed over your land where they our ancestors, which were Lenape, they lived by the waters. So that's, they were not interior people. They were not as much hunters as they were fishers. So it's a whole, right. You know, so all of that affect them to great depth, but it really, it's no different. You know what? It's no different than COVID. Introducing something new into a planet that doesn't have that, you know what I mean? It's
right.
That's what it is.
In that case, you know, forgetting conspiracy theories, in that case, it was coming from bats to humans.
Exactly.
And in this, it was coming from immigrants to indigenous people.
Exactly.
So it's the integration of foreign DNA into domestic DNA and creating a mutation, a.k.a. the Delta variant, but creating a mutation that creates, unfortunately, a new pathway, a new lifestyle for the various people that have all united.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what needs to be the constant in all of that is the knowledge base and the information and education to know how to manage it. Because you can't control what changes, but you can only control how you live with the change.
But isn't education the answer to most things?
That's a very loaded question, but you, you know, but also from the perspective of the vaccines, the whole thing about Pfizer and Moderna is that they are genetic code embedded in lipids. It's not virus at all. So the unique element of that technology is that what's being injected into our stream is the coding, the RNA, or as they call messenger RNA, mRNA, into your existing DNA, making you believe that you have received the DNA from this foreign object, this foreign being, this virus. And as such, you're already getting that layer of armor to prevent actually being infected by the virus.
And also, Frank, isn't it true in your case, because you can talk about your dad, you can tell them about your dad and how it affects other things. right? Mm-hmm. So I think also there's so much we don't know that is, since it's not the virus and it's fighting off any foreign germs coming in, it could do the same thing for other germs.
Yeah, because essentially we all have to take the flu shot every year. What the flu that has been up to this point has been dead influenza, dead virus.
Exactly.
And you're getting it and you're having the symptoms to it, but it's already dead, so you probably recover within 24 hours.
Right.
And you're immune. Still continue body testing, for lack of a better word. The thing with the mRNA sequencing with Pfizer and Moderna is that both Pfizer and Moderna have been able to find derivative products of it, not just in dealing with the variants of COVID, but I know Pfizer has been able to get towards developing a similar mRNA vaccine for cancer and HIV. Moderna is concerned, they're talking about an mRNA version of the flu shot. You know, so it seems to be that we have seen the innovation of genetic immunization for various diseases along the way, and which is in itself revolutionary. I mean, I'm not skeptical because I do believe in what I've seen with the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines to be a foundation of what could be with these new vaccines that are being tested and eventually applied. But the thing is that if we get to the point where all of our vaccines for various diseases are mRNA vaccines, I believe it's going to increase our lifespan. I believe it probably even stop the aging process or slow it down. I don't think we ever stop aging. I think it could slow us down and have a better quality of life. But more importantly, it would allow the stigma of such, you know, cancer and AIDS. There's a lot of social stigmas tied to those diseases. It'll also eliminate the fear and probably even inspire people to learn more about their health, even if it's just to know if they're living the life of a healthy teenager. I think that's where I'm finding that in this section of the show, what I'm emphasizing is that the importance of DNA coding for not just in understanding our disease possibilities, but also understanding our treatment potentials going forward.
Good.
Yeah. And just overall, I'm excited to just figure out exactly like how the Delta variant is going to be treated, especially since the infection rates are going up again here in New York, but they're like so low, like 1%, because I think we have 70% that have been vaccinated in the state. It looks as though we're headed for another break. So thanks again for listening to this episode of Frank About Health with Jimmy Dwyer and myself, Frank R. Harrison, here on talkradio.nyc. We'll be back in a few.
Are you passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Podcast Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Everybody, thanks again for joining me and Jimmy for the last 45 minutes talking about the importance of understanding DNA testing. The available kits out there are 23andMe, Ancestry.com, or Ancestry DNA, I think is the actual website where you can get your kit. There are others out there. Jimmy mentioned earlier, you can get your own full genetic testing. Those things run anywhere from $5,000 to $25,000, depending upon what it is you're looking for, especially those that are involving genetic testing for diseases. But I think that we would spend the remaining time talking about the importance of understanding ancestry trees. I know that Jimmy's been working on our Harrison lineage and Dwyer lineage for the last several years. I was just going to say that the importance of understanding that is definitely understanding the importance of managing our quality of life. But I wanted you, Jimmy, to discuss some of the motivations for looking into our family heritage. And if you wanted to share some traits or things that you learned about our family that, you know, maybe we've already talked about, but that would be making us differential as the Harrison Dwyer clan.
Well, I don't know that any of it would be so interesting to your audience out there. But to me, for myself personally, I was very interested as to where they came from. I think first off, to begin with, because I wanted to see if I guess you're always judging yourself against it. You know what I mean? So did they come from like London and Dublin, or were they farm people, or large families? You know, of course, when you look at it, it's also a timeline. It's a timeline because you think to yourself, you know what? Of course, if they were Irish, there was a big family. You know what I mean? It was like, you know, and it followed Catholicism in those days. So it was, you had a lot of children and stuff like that. But some of the funny things that I learned was places that they live. People could be a DNA thing. People in Northamptonshire, England, which was which is the Harrison line off of our great, great grandfather's line. They came over and they went to Connecticut, and I read a whole article because one of them wrote for a paper, and he wrote a whole article about how he disliked Connecticut so badly. There was no lakes or rivers where he was there. So he was moving, and they went to Southampton is Long Island, I suppose, Southampton, and because there they were, again, by the water, by the sea. They called it the sea, by the sea. And I think to myself, this is a silly thing, but I always think to myself, why did they stay in Southampton? Imagine I could be living in Southampton. I like that idea. But anyway, all that funny stuff. But that's the stuff that I followed. What happened was, it was very interesting because you study them. And of course, I was very interested in it because I have an Irish father who, it was all a Catholic side, but I had a Protestant mother. So that was totally different. And of course, everything is from church records. So that would be fine. And once I got to where your dad came in, where that whole family came in, where the Lenape came in, which was Elizabethtown, New Jersey, then it really became interesting because then they even had pictures of the homes and stuff. So I often think, although I live in Florida, I often think, and I go up to see my family and everyone, and you know, you get so involved in all that, but I promised myself I would go and I would search out those places where they walked, same thing when I go, I've been to England quite a few times, and I do the same thing. I try to at least go to the village where they're from to see the feel. I don't know, it's something in, I don't know if everybody has it, but I had this huge nostalgic corner of my brain that, I don't know if it's that I have a love for the antiquities of life. I
believe it is your DNA communicating to you the signals and the desires of your ancestors that you start to believe are your desires, which they are. You're reminded of them from your ancestors, and then you want to go and explore them. I mean, the whole thing with me and ancestry is that when I did my first test on ancestry before I went to 23andMe, I began to find my Italian heritage, which I've always identified with as a child, even though everyone in my family doesn't even look it or act it. I always wondered, where's the Italian side coming from? Well, luckily enough, I found I was 15% Sicilian Calabria or somewhere in that basin. Then there's the 10% from Spain. Then there's another 50% from Ireland, and another 5% from England, and then there's a 12% Native American, and I'm realizing I'm culture club here. What's going on? But I think what I learned to understand is when you don't have the actual ancestors living with you, and you see your own desires and instincts leading you towards cultures or places that you identify with quickly, that is pretty much your true ancestry, but you have to develop it within yourself. And then hopefully when you get the understanding, like I did with 23andMe, and when we connected, that was even answering all of the other questions that were being generated by the first study, to really understand that the data is just verifying what you probably innately already know. Right. So I think another aspect of understanding your DNA is to understand how to use your intuition.
It's a funny thing. Even on the 23andMe, they gave me my Neanderthal. You know, when you get that, which was, and I have, it said you have like 80% more than most people or something would be. And I had my African paternal side who traveled, and I had my Norse woman mother side or something. And then you say, wow, well, that's why I had such go-to people who weren't afraid to go to new lands and that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Or maybe that's why I had some strong women in my life. It answers a lot of questions. You know what's something? I think everybody listening, if they're lucky enough to still have their parents or their grandparents or whatever, should sit down with a book. We should put out a book, Frank, that says, ask this question, this question, this question, this question, and then there'd be no need, whatever, for the $49.99, you'd have it right in your hand.
To have two books, actually. You have the Harrison Bible.
I have the Harrison Bible, and I have the book I wrote, exactly.
Can you tell the listeners a little bit about that book? It's available on Amazon.com, so I want them to know about it if they're interested.
Well, first off, to begin with, here's what happened about my grandson, who is now 19, was 9, and he was in school and he wanted a story about himself. And I was so into the DNA stuff that I said, okay, I'll write a story about you and my other grandson, who now is 14 and was 4. I said, okay, I'll write this little book. So I did a story about a grandfather and his two grandsons who travel to their grandfathers of the past through a tree on the property on their thing. So what happens, the property, they go into their DNA so they can go back to this, the 23rd great-grandfather, their 26th great-grandfather, their 12th great-grandfather, their 3rd great-grandfather. So it's a DNA book. So it was fun for me.
The persimmon tree, right?
The persimmon tree, but no one, I mean, believe me, I never even had an editor or anything. I wrote it for them and I put it on so that the teacher could get it because I was in Florida. So the teacher got it and then read it to the class. So you know what? It paid off because it made him proud as can be. And that's what I wanted. I wanted to see that smile from ear to ear.
Well, you know, another reason why I did the study is also your second cousin, my father, Frank Harrison, was always identifying with Lenape heritage. On his 75th birthday, I gave him a picture of our great-great-grandmother, Lavinia Harrison.
I have that picture. I have that picture in the Bible.
And essentially, I then went into the whole understanding of Lenape culture, that they migrated or that they were here in New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Long Island, all the areas you mentioned where we all originate from. And it's just that they apparently are now known as the Delaware Indian tribe that was migrated out. I mean, we both essentially come from migration status. We come from immigrants, but such – I think it makes us an eclectic bunch of people.
And I love the immigrants. I love them.
Exactly. And the whole point is we're all connected. We're all one big happy.
Yeah, definitely.
The idea is to stay that way. Yep. I want to give a shout out to my father, who's turning 90 on August 5th of this year. It is important that I do that right now, especially with my cousin Jimmy over here. We've been planning for the past year or so to have a tribute for him, but due to timing, COVID, the list goes on. What we've decided to do is have a much bigger tribute planned at a Hilton, just a little segue there, in the future, all to Lavinia, who will narrate our future, summarize our history with the Lenape people. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned for our next show right here on talkradio.nyc with Johnny Tsunami. It's called Planet Pakalolo. Thank you again for staying tuned to me and Jimmy talking about our family and our plans for our future. I'll be back next week with a very special show to be announced in the coming days. Thanks for tuning in right here on Talk Radio NYC. See you next week.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you, Jimmy, always.
Did you know that nearly one in five adults in the U.S. battles mental illness? Hi, my name is Albert Dabba. I'm the host of the show Extra Innings. Extra Innings, I discuss the topics of wellness, mental health, and the experience of surviving multiple suicides within my family. Listen live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern to Extra Innings for discussions with sports figures, artists, mental health professionals, and many others. That's Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Wise Content Creates Wealth. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Friday afternoon from 1 p.m. to 2. They say content is king. Well, wise content rules the world. Every episode features tools and tips for content marketing and business people telling the wise content stories of that success. Tune in every Friday from 1 p.m. to 2 on talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Have you ever thought of reinventing yourself? Are you looking to create a new life's journey? Hi, I'm Kevin Barbaro, host of Coffee Talk XL every Tuesday night, 5, 8 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live to hear me and my guests from a variety of different backgrounds. As a former college coach and a current full-time actor and owner of multiple companies, my show is as eclectic as my life. That's Coffee Talk XL every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.